And that was Michael Jackson and Thriller finishing off Dutch Discs for this evening and another week. But we'll be back with another Dutch Discs next week, Sunday, at the usual time. It's been a very uplifted Dutch Disc this week based on what happened yesterday. And nobody was more delighted than me and Ange. Both at different games yesterday, but both feeling the same about the scoreline that was taking place. So it's great to see. Let's hear from you all about yesterday and the Michael O'Neill appointment after these titles.
The goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing it home from a free kick.
Deserved a lot, but no listening to North FM.
If you don't know the words to that song, perhaps you'll get to learn them before we play in a couple of Saturdays' time at home. What a difference a few days makes. I jokingly put out a tweet earlier on that said hopefully we'll beat Wigan at Wigan in, I think it's March next year, but we're all looking forward to winning again on Saturday, well, 2 weeks' time. Ross wasn't at the game yesterday, I certainly was, along with, I would think, over 3,000 Stoke fans, who had forgotten what it was like, firstly, to win, apart from two matches this season, secondly, to score three goals, and unbelievably, to score four. And I was there when we got four last time at Everton, as I'm sure most people were who listened to this show. What a difference playing players in their right places on a pitch and giving them the right to play how they should do, given that they aren't playing in a formation that's alien to them. I think really top-class players would struggle sometimes with a quick change. But look, we've managed it to temper all the enthusiasm. I thought Barnsley were very naive. I thought they were very poor. But we scored four. We conceded two through not brilliant defence. But tonight, couldn't care tuppence because we've won and we're not at the bottom of the league. Long way to go, but the confidence should be there. And what a difference, as I say, a few days makes, Russell.
Well, we've played a lot of poor teams this season, Andrew. We haven't looked like scoring four, or haven't managed to score four.
True.
So that's... I don't really know what the reason for yesterday was. You can make all sorts of arguments, can't you? You're bringing players in out of the cold who felt they've been... shall we say, sidelined under the previous management, and that always happens, Ange, as we know. Everybody's got their favourites for whatever reason. We all have got that, I'm sure, you know, as fans and whatever. Formation change, obviously. I am absolutely delighted that we've decided, in that first game at least, to get more players forward. Lee Gregory is... brought into the game even more, is he not, when he's got support around him and you know, rather than just ploughing a lone furrow, which he manages to do somehow. But to have players around him, it makes such a difference. And we've said it before and we'll say it again, I just don't understand what's happening with some of our players. We know from talking to ex-players, journalists, media, people who followed some of these players. Brian Woods is the prime example. If you talk to any media man who followed Brentford, Liam Lawrence, if you talk to him about his time at Shrewsbury, you know, we're talking a class player. And something's just gone wrong there, what it was, who knows. Then he strolls in after, I have to say, Ange, and I'll back it up again from what I said last week, not looking interested in the under-23 game at the Bet365 the other night, Ange, until the dismissal takes place. And then lo and behold, he comes on. People were concerned, even the manager mentioned about the fact that he might not do 90 minutes and he was worried about his conditioning and all this, that and the other, and then just strolls through the game and plays superbly. So, I think it's wrong now to look backwards. I think it's, you know, we've got to look forwards. The manager sounds like someone, to me, from all of what we've heard, that he's not going to take fools gladly. He's going to be a manager, which I think is something that you could argue, you know, the previous manager maybe was more of a coach than a manager, you know, rather than in stature terms. He's got that stature, he's got that respect for what he's done in international football. And as I said today, you shouldn't really we can't get excited, we can't go over the top, it's one game, but to score, when the third one came through at Nantwich, there was audible shock in the ground. You know, that we'd actually, I think everybody was expecting, he was there, he was a Stokey, because there were Stokeys there who went to watch Nantwich yesterday, just to get against Fylde. You know, they expected as soon as Barnsley got a goal early in the second half that the old methods would come in and we'd end up losing the game, even possibly, some people were saying to me. You know, when we got the third, there was a gasp, you know, of, oh my word, you know, this is something different. You know, we scored three goals. And then when the fourth one went in, of course, didn't actually know how these goals had gone in at the time when they were flashing up on the screen. And you saw them afterwards, and every one of them was well worked. Every one of them was a quality goal. Sam Clucas, I think, might have got injured in the process of scoring that fourth goal, Ange, did he?
I honestly don't know.
So there's a possibility there. I don't know. We might find out more about that over the international break. But, yeah, well, you can't say anything but positive, positive result. The slackness, the only thing in a negative way you can say was the second goal in particular that Barnsley scored was diabolical defending. Maybe we just switched off, I don't know, but everything about that goal was diabolical. The defensive positioning, don't know what Butland was doing, and you know, everything was wrong, but it's fortunate we had a three goal gap at that point, Ange.
Yeah, before we get much further, at the end of the game I noticed Jack Butland gave his gloves to a guy who I thought was from a member of Barnsley's staff. Could anybody tell me, were they specifically given to him, or were they given to him to give to somebody in the Stoke crowd? No ulterior motive, I'm just interested. Real Stokey bloke on the oatcake says, new era or false dawn? That's the burning question. I'm going for the former, personally. Not blind optimism either. Just look at the love and outpouring from the gutted Northern Ireland fans. They know what they're losing and can't believe we don't appreciate, yet anyway, what we're getting. Hopefully we very soon will. Look too at what he's done with the square root of not a great deal in terms of talent with that squad. Bodes well for him knocking our assorted misfits into some semblance of a cohesive unit without relying on yet another £60 million rebuild. Maybe the board aren't that stupid after all. And certainly, until we can address some, if not all, of the glaring gaps in our side in January. A warm welcome from me for Mr. O'Neill anyway. You mentioned about it looked like we had a manager that could manage. First thing that I felt when I got the chance to speak to him after the game was that he's very measured, he's very composed, he reminds me a lot of a bank manager. I know he worked in finance before, but he's not going to come out with any beating a chest and running up to the fans. I think he's going to be quite circumspect in how he handles things. But the funniest thing of all was some of the press asking him if he felt that he could handle one or two things with the international break coming up and how he could get the tune out of some of these players. And he just looked at some of them and said, I've got a team playing against Germany and Holland next week, so I think I can possibly manage. There was no nastiness, nothing. Billy Big Whatever says, evening all, a great performance and a much needed win yesterday. Excuse me, with another superb turnout from the Stoke fans. There are still some issues that O'Neill has to work on at the back, We still seem to have the odd mistake in there, and both of their goals came from poor defending. Overall, though, very encouraging. If Waggy hadn't lost his shoe in the third goal mentally, it would have been a perfect day. So I wonder who's got Waggy's shoe then. Man in a suitcase. A very honest performance with a richly deserved victory. He picked the best team and formation, and hey, presto, 4 goals and 3 points. The players looked like they were playing in their favoured positions, and it showed. O'Neill came across very well in his post-match interview and was very honest about the squad being too big and the lack of shape. Still thinks the like of Ince and Butland need to shape up or ship out, as they still looked a bit weak. Like to hear people's thoughts on that, particularly on Jack's performance on the 2 goals, because it's sometimes easy to criticise a keeper, but he didn't look like he made any attempt to the second one for me. Allen and Clucas look like 2 players who've woken up from a coma and started to play again. Fix the defence and get some more pacey width, and we could make a charge to the playoffs. Optimistic, I know. Still a long way to go, but it's a first step, and it's a great one.
Well, on I must say, on that second Barnsley goal, Ange, like I say, the actual entirety of the central defensive pairing were all at sea. And I just didn't understand where Jack Butland positioned himself in the goal. If you look from the long end on Anglange, I think most of us could have buried that in the corner without being professional footballers, because he left him that much room to do so. Yeah. Almost like showing him into that corner. But then not to make an effort. Anyway, like I say, it's in a small point on a great day, which you shouldn't focus on, I suppose. Andy Furnio says, great win yesterday, apart from the obvious change in formation. The differences to previous games, as you could see, our system for 90 minutes. That meant the players knew what they were supposed to be doing. And actually getting players in and around Lee Gregory, who was immense, to support our attacks. And he thought James McLean had his best game in his Stoke shirt. Andy did. There's lots of happy people, according to Tim Willis. Well, we'll see. I'm sure somebody will find something to moan about. Ben Cliff said, who knew playing players in the right positions can change your performance? Ted and Jules say, what a lovely feeling it is to wake up with 3 points in the bag.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And another 3 points this afternoon. We've watched a very comfortable 3 points, which was not expected. So we've had a very, very good weekend watching Stoke One Club. Neil Price says, evening, Russ and Ange and fellow Stokies. Best result of the season so far. Great start for Michael O'Neill. George Harding says, what a difference 6 days make. Best Stoke away day I've seen and I've been to. I haven't been to an away game since the Liverpool semi-final, so I had to end the rot, and also scoring more than 2 goals. Baby Jesus Jr. is due on the 25th of December 2019. Ted says, Rory and Kevin Russell need some credit for yesterday. Well, they didn't get much credit for the Monday night effort, did they, Ange?
Well, I don't think you could say much about anybody on the Monday night.
He got that wrong, I think.
He did admit that he got it wrong, as you know from I said. But looking at what people have said about Rory and Michael, quite interesting that he was passing information on to Rory and Andy Quay on the bench. And he was sort of standing on his own, deciding what was going to happen and passing on the information to them, and they were talking to the players. At this point, I'm going to say, for me, the highlight of my viewing was when Mamma Diouf dusted the cobwebs off himself and ran onto the pitch. And then you saw it was a typical, he's going to score this Manchester City type run, all the way down the pitch. And then in true Mamma tradition, where you forget, he managed to slide over. But if you could have seen all the lads that were sitting behind the dugout, the likes of Collins and Shawcross, they were standing up, roaring him on to score. And he is that well liked by the players and the staff of the football club. And I thought it was really great that he managed to get on the pitch. I don't think we'll see too much of him, but it was just nice to see him for all his endeavour, all his endurance, all his hanging around. And it is one of the funniest things of all is that he didn't even know half the players' names in our squad because he's never met them. So yesterday and the day before was sort of the first time he'd met some of those players. So you have to question or wonder one or two things that have gone on in the past, but as you say, it's all in the past. Well,
I think you've said something there, Ange, that maybe needs an answer. Why? In a simple question and answer. I mean, trouble is now we've got a new gaffer.
Yeah, you won't get an answer.
So you won't get an answer.
No.
But obviously, people can speculate on why he's been ostracised, it appears, and why previous manager was sacked. He was straight playing for the under-23s on the very day he left. Too much of a coincidence, I would suggest, like I said last week. But I don't understand it, because whatever you think about Manjeef, and he's not prolific, but he works hard. There's not many players in our squad who've scored 11 goals in a season in the Premier League. So, you know, and let's be honest, I think Matt Sandoz said this on Saturday afternoon. He's certainly good enough to be playing at the bottom of the Championship. And there's no doubt about that, in my opinion. But, like I say, there's a lot of things that none of us can explain. None of us can explain the level of underperformance, other than there's something that was not right somewhere. We've seen players at Stoke play very, very well, and then they've just disappeared out of the reckoning altogether. And I'll keep mentioning Woods, because Woods is one of the obvious candidates. When he first came in, he was controlling the games, he was captain, he was whatever, and he's just, you know, gone off the radar. So, and everybody you speak to from every club he's played for seems to think he's a gem. Now, you know, you've got four or five midfield players there. You've got Woods, Allen, Clucas, and Dye, and Atibo, who neither of those two gentlemen were playing yesterday, who people are extremely concerned are going to leave the football club in January, and where do we go from here? And then you've got, and we produce a performance like that in midfield.
Well,
so,
I don't think Atibo will be going anywhere. Okay. He also couldn't play yesterday because he's injured. What you have to appreciate is that at some point, several players are going to have to be sold for financial fair play.
Yeah.
If Michael O'Neill is expected to get any new players in the transfer window, you've got to realise that some people have got to go out. It's not a question of the owners having money, but some players will have to go. You look at the squad and you look at who would probably bring in money, obviously Atabowen and Di Wood. But that's a way down the road yet. We've got to enjoy the moment, and I'd like to know if people think that the two-week break is going to be a hindrance, because, again, O'Neill said yesterday that we've got about 10 players out, so it won't really be a great loss that he won't be there, because he feels that international breaks aren't good for clubs, because obviously players disappear all over the place.
Do we know, Ange, whether that was a request of his or
no idea, couldn't tell you.
I mean, because I presume if it was a deal breaker, I wouldn't have made it a deal breaker if I was the club. But I mean, you know, if they said no, we don't want you to do any more international management, would he have said?
I've no idea. I don't know.
You can have an opinion there.
Well, I don't, because I don't know the bloke, so I don't have an opinion on how that. But I would say that looking at somebody that's been as successful as he has with Northern Ireland, I think he would probably feel that he owed them at that stage, when they have two matches in the forthcoming week, to stay with them unless they could replace him straight away. And I think he's done what any honest professional would do. He's fulfilling his what were commitments. He didn't know. Nobody knew that Nathan Jones was going to go when he did. You know, it was a strange timing. That in itself leads people to speculate that they got somebody in line, and it's obviously fallen through, because it certainly wouldn't be O'Neill. And so I think you just have to accept that he's an honourable person, and he's done what a lot of people probably wouldn't expect people to do in that position.
He said that the media reports, however much you want to believe the media reports are, that he was the only one who they spoke to said, I want this job straight away. So that didn't do him any harm, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, I mean,
I
don't know whether that makes a difference to people like the Coates family, because I'm sure they'll have heard people say that to them a lot in their different guises of businessmen. But look, if you looked at the people that were supposedly
linked,
interviewed, then out of those three, I wouldn't have given it to anybody else. Yeah. I would say that I was amazed how one of them got an interview, but that's just for me to think and nobody else to care. Anyway, we've got the manager we've got. Is everybody happy with the manager? In terms of the international break, he said he will be taking training tomorrow and then he will fly off to Belfast for the game. And then he'll be back after the second international. But in the meantime, the coaching staff will be working hard with the players that are left. Booden Boys 1863 on the Oatcake set, on the Oatcake says, evening guys, hope you both well. First of all, get in. What a class day that's been. Long overdue. I still haven't calmed down yet. I've got a spring in my step and I can't wait for work tomorrow because I get nothing but hell off all the other fans of different clubs and I know we're only second from bottom, but I'm going to enjoy this one. Brilliant performance. We look much better shape-wise, although the two goals we conceded were poor. I'm not letting that get in the way of what was a fantastic day. I took my 7-year-old niece to the game yesterday. She's been going for 4 years now. She's never seen us win away. Hasn't seen us win many at home either. But just to see her little face smiling means everything. I went to the cenotaph this morning and got there a touch late, so I stood at the back of the crowd gathering. I saw my niece and she mouthed, Michael O'Neill, Michael O'Neill. The new chant that kicked my excitement in once again. We deserved that. At least 2,000 of us bought tickets for that game while we were rock bottom and without a manager. So that was, for us loyal fans, absolutely brilliant. We deserved that yesterday. Roll on, Wigan. Come on, you Reds. And while we're talking about the support, in the interview that I did with Rory pre the game, it was quite obvious to me that he knew how much that support might matter. And when we were 2-1 up, when we conceded the goal, we all sat there talking at half-time saying, all we need to do now is keep it tight for the first 10 minutes and we should win. 3 minutes after, we're all looking at each other thinking, here we go again.
Yeah.
But the crowd,
that was my immediate reaction.
The crowd helped. The crowd were fantastic throughout. I thought the Barnsley stewards were really good because on another day, I could just imagine if the roles were reversed and 3,000 Barnsley fans had come to Stoke and they were winning 2-1 and we had gone to the bottom of the table, I don't think our stewards, no offence, would have allowed them to conger all the way around the stand. But they did. It was very good-hearted and I think Barnsley are a tad naive, as an ex-player told me yesterday, and I do think they'll go down. So we do have to measure our enthusiasm. Nico 1969 says, evening, I'd just like to congratulate the team on that great performance yesterday. There's one thing, though, that concerns me a lot. Why have the club given this man a 3.5-year deal worth over £5 million? Have the club not learnt a thing? That figure was quoted on Sky Sports News, by the way. I just hope this time they've got it right, or else we're walking into the abyss. I don't mean to be negative, Ange, but are Hughes, Lambert and Rowett still being paid off? Questions need to be asked about the last 4 years. Financial fair play is my grave concern, and I'm very worried about the way this football club is going. Seems a good appointment, though, and a good man manager who comes over well. But I would have only given him a contract until the end of the season and looked at it then. Let's hope he turns out to be like Lou Macari, the man who I think is the greatest Staffordshire manager in my 45 years of supporting the club. Best days by far for me, the 1990s under Lou. Just before I go, congratulations on your award from Staffordshire University. Thank you very much. I wouldn't have read that out if I'd read it before. I apologise, but it just, I don't like writing.
Well, I want to know where you've got
plus
it for.
Plus everything around. For sitting next to you for many years. Plus everything you do to help people on the Supporters Council. I, for one, appreciate everything you do for the supporters. Many thanks. Great show, by the way. Nigel in Reading, Berkshire. Oh, in the Royal area of Reading. Thank you very much. Thank you for your kind thoughts.
Well, simple answer to that post is I don't think he'd have come for a contract until the end
of
the season.
Yeah, I was just about to say, if you're trying to get a manager in, the first thing they want is security, and that doesn't mean security is staying for years. That means security of a contract that they'll get paid up. In answer to your questions about Hughes, Lambert and Rowett, I honestly don't think they'll be still being paid off. I think they will have been paid off and there would have been something in their contract that said if they got another job, if we were paying them monthly. But I don't know. Russ knows more about football contracts than myself, but I'm pretty sure that they will not have walked away empty-handed. Financial fair play, I think I'm right in saying, doesn't take into consideration what you pay managers, but I could be wrong. KU Stokey says, good afternoon all, looking forward to the show, which is very important to me because it helps me to keep in touch with my roots. Brilliant that win was, important on so many levels. First off, the 4 goals and 3 points, but more importantly, we buried a bad team and gave them no chance of coming back. And it must have given the players a massive boost of confidence in each other and in the new manager. I listened to the match on Radio Stoke, and Dennis Smith summed it all up very well. Players playing in a position where they're comfortable and providing width, which creates space in midfield. I don't know much about tactics, but I do know this. Stretch the opposition when you have the ball and keep it narrow when you don't, not the other way round, which is why the diamond didn't work and was easy to play in defeat, I think that should be. Keep it simple, stupid. That's an old one I haven't heard for a while, but thank you very much, KU Stokey. Can I just say that if you haven't watched the commentary, the alternative commentary by the guy called George.
Absolutely outstanding.
It's very funny, particularly the bit about, I think even James McLean would laugh about that.
Oh yeah, that I was crying.
There's a little point of saying that somebody takes McLean down because he sees he hasn't got a poppy on his shirt. Yeah. But the whole thing is hilarious.
Brilliant. It is brilliant.
And it just made the end of the day-to-day funny for me. In terms of McLean, I thought he played exceptionally well. And for those people who are wondering, like the guy from Reading, why we've given him a contract that we have, you know, there were other clubs, there were Premier Leagues, I think Southampton looked at him before they got the manager that they've got in now, whose tenure might change soon. And I think he was being looked at by another couple of championship clubs. And people aren't going to come with from an international management background for a contract to the end of the season. The other thing that I think we ought to discuss tonight was the fact that he said he would only go to certain clubs because he didn't really want to be worked for a sporting director. And he liked the structure of Stoke and he had a great deal of time for John and Peter Coates. And I think that's something when people have been saying they should sell the club in the last few weeks, no matter what we think as fans, outside of the football club, the family are remarkably well liked for the stability over the years they have given this club. So sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees when you're embroiled in everything, but I thought that was particularly nice of him to say.
Let's not look at it with too many rose-tinted spectacles on, Ange, because if this doesn't work, there will be people calling for him to sell the club, because I don't know how many manager decisions you can make and fail with them on the trot before people lose patience. So there is a huge amount riding on this appointment. I've got a gut reaction. I had a good gut reaction about Gary Rowett. I had a optimistic gut reaction about Nathan Jones. About this one, I have a feeling that it's the first one out of the last three that struck me as being someone with some stature and someone with who's going to be respected at the club. And let's be honest, Ange, there's two things that have also happened this week in relation to his appointment that I've been pleasantly surprised with in relation to why he came and how he's arrived. One is, I think he's got more talented players to work with at Stoke than he's been working with at Northern Ireland. And he's made a magnificent job of working with players, I think, with less ability than we've got in our squad. And he's got tremendous results doing it. And also, and this is a more minor point, Ange, but I think he's brought a lot of media positivity with him. And what I mean by that is, for a long time now, there's been a lot of negativity about Stoke in the media, hasn't there, Ange? There's always been that sort of feeling in that when we get articles written about us in the national media that it's not a positive look. There seems to be a lot of positivity behind this gentleman and what he is and what he's brought to the football club, and he seems to have quite a few friends in the media. Now, that can only be an improvement on the image of Stoke City Football Club as well as a football club and moving forward. So, he seems to me like he's got some stature about him, and I thought the comment yesterday he made about the fact that he didn't even know the names of some of the players was a very deliberate comment, I think. You know, I think he knew the names of the players, but he's trying to bring these players down a peg or two, I think, some of the egos, and make it clear that he's the manager. And I think, like I say, it's going to be a very, very interesting period coming up. And I think everybody's, all after that result yesterday, everybody will be looking forward to the Wigan game, I'm sure. Mick Fitzpatrick says, and I've seen this on for a few posts, Ange, why do you got on the pitch yesterday, says Mick, when he supposedly didn't have a squad number?
Well, he wore a shirt with a number on the back. He didn't have a squad number, but English Football League rules are not the same as the Premier League. You don't have to be in the 25-man squad.
I've seen that play a few times, though. So obviously a lot of people are getting confused. And based on that, and another thing, Ange, that rule about a ball hitting the referee, people still don't understand that rule. It happened again this afternoon, and, you know, they don't understand that the game has to stop and it has to be a drop ball. People, you know, the rules are changing all the time, aren't they? Matt Bateman says, great performance by the lads. 4-3-3 works well for Stoke. Now let's push on up the league and sing Michael O'Neill's Barmy Army. Gaspardi says, players played in their position. That's why we played so well. Ben Cliff says, and I think it says a lot, when the day Jones got sacked, Mamdjouf scores for the under-23s in his first appearance near any squad. Next game, he's in the first-team squad, and Woods comes in out of nowhere. Fair play to O'Neill. He's clearly given a clean slate, which is what is needed now. Gary Eagle says, he said we have a big squad. If so, who do you think might be moving on?
Well, I think some players will want to move on. I think if the players that haven't really had a look in that Nathan Jones signed, I think they'll want to go anyway. If they don't get a look in with the new manager, I think they'll want to go anyway. But certainly he will have to trim the squad. And I think it should be trimmed because, as Nathan Jones previously said, you can't work as well with so many players, and there's also money to be considered. Hmm. It was so nice. I'd like to say that, you know, the fans that made the trip to Barnsley, and I know away days are great, I hope that every one of those goes to the home match against Wigan, because there are more and more red seats appearing at the match, and it would be just nice if we could have an almost full house again for another match. Let's not kid ourselves. We've had one win. We've got four or five matches now, which I think are eminently easily winnable. No, sorry, nothing's easily winnable, but are much more likely to produce 3 points than some of the others if you look at the relative positions in the table. And I would think that we could do pretty well in all those matches up until Boxing Day, because they're all against teams that are in and around us, with apart from Hull, who have been flying up until recently.
But we have said, I mean, like I say, we have said, Ange, haven't we, that we don't understand why we're underperforming so much. And we genuinely believe that we're in a false position. We have done. Off air, on air, we do feel
well, I didn't feel we were in a false position on Monday when we played West Brom, no, because they never got out of first gear.
Yes, but I repeat this, and I'm sure people will resonate with this at home. We've been relegated how many times in the last 25 years, Ange?
Two.
Is that all?
I think so.
Well, on both those occasions, we've had teams which were really poor. And, you know, we couldn't invest in them for whatever reason. You know, so, or they looked poor and they looked like relegation material. To me, this squad is packed full of talent, you know, all the way through. You can go right from goalkeeping. Okay, he's not playing his best standard goalkeeping at the moment, the current number one. But if he was playing to the top of his potential, he would be the best player in the Championship by a mile, goalkeeping-wise anyway. Defensively, you've still got internationals playing there for your club. The midfield is where I think we've got the most power of all. I mean, there's four or five players in there who are all, on paper, absolute quality for this league. And they're all named in the polls on various, you know, in various ways that we'll talk about in a minute. And then up front, that's probably where we're lacking a touch of quality, you have to say, perhaps. But there still should be more than enough there to climb up this table.
There should, but, you know, maybe. We've talked about the bad luck, and Nathan Jones obviously had some bad luck. But there was a certain amount of decent luck yesterday, in so much that we played the team that were as bad as that we could probably play in the league. Gregory was back, and boy, did he play well. He worked himself so hard. Hogan was able to play. So the people that hadn't quite been ready the game against West Brom, and I'm going to say it because I still believe it's true and I haven't seen the replay, I thought it was a nailed-on penalty for them when we were 2-1 up. I think in the heat, from where we were sitting, which was on the halfway line, we all thought it was a penalty. People instantly told me he never touched him. I was surprised the ref didn't give it, because there's no VAR. So that was a little bit of luck we had. You know, Sam Clucas will never score two better goals in his life. The keeper hit the first one that hit Clucas. In the past, that would have hit Clucas and ricocheted to one of their players. It's just a little bit of things that are turning round. But we need to take everything we can. And as I say, it's quite bizarre that we're all celebrating. People were doing the conga yesterday for coming off the bottom of the league. But my word, it's worth celebrating. Magwitch says, good evening all. I was very encouraged by the result and the display yesterday, which was exactly what we needed for the fans and Michael O'Neill. My opinion about Jones proved to be completely wrong, but I don't think O'Neill will go the same way as the last two managers. He appears to be a manager who will not fall for something as spurious as the diamond strategy, or go away, or give away a good Premiership left back and replace him with a worse one 4 years older. From his CV, which says a lot about an individual, he seems to be someone who can think for himself, so I believe he has the makings of a very successful manager, but anyone can be derailed by something like the FFP rules. So I have to admit that the situation for a new manager is unpredictable, and the problems behind the scenes have not yet gone away. I think I would take issue with the fact that he has got the makings of being a very successful manager. I think he's already a successful manager, but obviously I know what you mean in club football. And I think that Stoke and he might go places, because you looked at what they said on Quest last night with Colin Murray. Mm. Now, yeah, Colin Murray's a dyed-in-the-wool Ireland fan, and he thinks the guy walks on water. Mm. And you look at everybody that has said how bad he will be as a loss for Northern Ireland. May I just remind you that all the Luton fans were equally gutted when Nathan Jones left and came to us. All of them. So I'm not really bothered about what the Irish fans think. I'm bothered about what I saw in front of me at that game. I also genuinely believe that the players ought to hang their head in shame for the way, when they've had 40 minutes, he said, of a session with them, that all of a sudden they could translate what they were doing, irrespective of what position they were playing on the pitch, that all of a sudden they gave somebody respect. And there's some of those players, in my opinion, that need binning for the way they behave. But that is the way football is these days.
I think you're right, Ange. I think that, part of it clearly was respect. In my, you know, you've got to say that. But if you read the rumours and listen to the rumours that were on TalkSport about the manager talking to the players on three or four occasions and telling them he was leaving, well, behind the scenes, that must have been causing tremendous anxiety and looking like a bit of a shambles, as far as I'm concerned, Ange. So, you know, you can see where the turmoil in the workplace was clearly pretty bad coming up to the end of his tenure. So, like I say, until somebody writes a book on all this stuff, Ange, you'll never know, will we?
No.
Well, there's a book to be written, and there's a book to be written over the last three or four years. I just hope a line's just been completely drawn under all this now.
Well, you're only as good as your forward. Last game, and we won 4-2.
Well, I just want to, like I say, Ange, wouldn't it be a joy if we did exactly the same in the next game and bonk four past Red Wigan? It's been the fans at home deserve something.
But the realisation of even if we do that, we won't be out of the bottom three, makes you realise how bad we are.
Well, we're not bad. I don't think we are bad. I think we needed somebody to believe in and some structure by the looks of
okay.
it.
Okay, I'll go with that.
But there's that squad is not bad.
No.
There's not. I just, like I say, I've always said that. But you're quite right what you say. They've got themselves in this hole as well, as well as maybe the management. But you can't keep blaming the manager. But, you know, they've got to, if they respect this guy, which it looks like they're going to have to, otherwise they're up, you know, they're on the high road with him.
Absolutely.
We'll go somewhere. Anyway, Neil Price says, we look balanced, we look a bit more organised, Clucas with two superb goals, big praise for Ryan Woods, who played well. Excuse me, I will say about Clucas, Ange, he was awake, you know, for that first goal, Ange, he was facing up, he was awake for a mistake by the goalkeeper, you know, that, somebody, you know, he could have easily expected that ball to be travelling 40 yards over his head, you know, and up towards the front line. He was facing up, he was awake, and the composure when he brought that ball down to hit from there, straight into the goal, that was some terrific skill. And Sam's had his critics, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was something a bit special. And the actual second goal, I think, in my opinion, was actually better. I mean, that was a tremendous strike. Real, real bang from the outside of the box, that was. And the keeper had no chance. Bob Hardy says, it's refreshing. So let's just look forward. And as the manager said it in one, Craig Willis says, Ryan Woods has always been quality. He started to lose a bit of confidence and maybe his role under the previous gaffer, which got him benched. He is key for Stoke. Mr. Greenway from Northern Ireland says, my dad Ernie Greenway is a massive Stoke fan. I was extremely surprised at the negativity regarding Michael's appointment. Excuse me. He is tactically very, very astute. He's got Northern Ireland playing really good football. Had a team that worked hard and was disciplined, something that Stoke have lacked all season. People are saying he's not got club management experience. He overachieved with the Shamrock Rovers and got them into the Europa group stage. That was unheard of. He also watches a lot of championship matches due to his players from Northern Ireland playing in that division. He turned down other jobs before Stoke and obviously sees this as a great project. Hopefully he'll win over all the fans. In my opinion, Stoke are lucky to have him. I rate him very highly. Good luck for the season. Well, Mr. Greenway, I think if you're still listening, I think the number of people who are critical of the appointment is very, very small indeed. Steve Breeze says, hopefully Ince and McLean. Ince was missing again for most of the game. However, McLean put a good shift in. Unfortunately, McLean isn't good enough with the end product. What do you think about that, Ange? Do you think there's a chance he could go?
Who?
McLean.
No, I don't think there's Captain Elstree chance he can go.
Okay, Sarah Bailey says, well, that's what Breezy's saying. You know, the cheat. That's the cheat. Yeah. Otherwise known as the cheat, Stephen. Sarah Bailey says, December 2015, since we last scored four goals away at Everton, I understand it. And I think we mentioned that stat on this programme quite a while ago.
It was the Arnautovic cross-come shot that won it for us.
No, it wasn't.
It was for me.
We didn't score that day. I don't think.
I meant Shaqiri, not Arnie, sorry.
Okay. Scott Price, evening, the Michael O'Neill era is off to a good start. Went yesterday, the atmosphere from the fans, and to score more than two goals, it's been a long time coming. Craig Willis says, Ryan Shawcross will be a great signing in January when he's back. Stuart Faulkner says, great win. Caroline Bloor says, first time listening, good evening from Shrewsbury.
Thank you for listening, Caroline.
Hello, Caroline. Lee Davies says, great win yesterday. Now let's get behind the manager and the team and shoot up this league. It's the first time I've seen us balanced all over the pitch. I think Tony Pulis mentioned
that. But that's the most important thing. When we all saw the team sheet, we all thought, wow, that's balance. Well, more or less balance.
Well, what's the previous manager been doing? I mean, we were all conned by his words, Andrew, weren't we? Stuart Faulkner says he was a manager who knows what he's doing. Sam Kitch says, different feeling yesterday. It was an amazing away day. Can't wait for Wigan. Thank you for that, Sam. Melanie Stanway says they were a bad side.
They were poor, and I'm pretty sure they'll go down. A lot of young players, though. I can't believe that they'll do anything but do well in the league below them.
Dan Eyre says it was a difficult match and would have impacted on confidence, but the biggest thing was that our heads didn't drop and we kept on going. As our confidence grows along with the band's formation and players, plays in the right place, perhaps our defence will become less wobbly. Stuart Faulkner says Jack will be gone in January. Russell. Nigel Keats says Federici back for me, but aside from that, a great start. Let's hope for more of the same.
I'd love to know, Nigel, what other people think of that comment, because As much as Jack has been a brilliant keeper for us over the years, I do think that Federici releases the ball quicker and his distribution is better. And I don't actually think he did anything to be dropped for, but obviously that's a backroom
stuff. Well, I'm sure Adam Davies will be quite delighted he's got a new opportunity to impress another manager anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Craig Fallow says, any news on the backroom team, he was asked. Any news on the backroom team? He was asked about Andy Kai and Delap and didn't really give an answer. Personally, Andy Kai being the keeper coach, you would think would stay. But I still don't understand Delap's role at the club. I'm all for ex-players being involved, but what does he do? And if you look at the West Brom game, if anything, he was even worse than what we've watched all season. And Defo didn't have the players playing for him either. I'm going to leave that now. But if we'd have
we've got to answer the question about what his backroom staff will be. He did say that he hadn't made a decision on his backroom staff, apart from he had brought in a guy that helps him to recruit players. So that will be interesting because, of course, yeah. We've just signed somebody. One of Nathan's appointments was Phil Chappell, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. Stephen Harper has worked for Michael O'Neill, and he's a goalkeeping coach. If I had to nail my colours to the mast now, I would think that Kevin would stay with the under-23s, and Rory and Andy would both stay at Stoke. I'm not sure of anything else. I know Jared is still at Stoke, who's working with the guys fitness-wise.
Ben Cliff says, Ince wasn't great, but at least he was playing in his correct position, so maybe now his confidence might perk up, knowing he's going to play there. A decent run in the team, and he might get to the quality we all know he has. As for Butland, I feel bad for Federici. He shouldn't have been dropped for the West Bromwich Albion game, so hopefully we'll have to see if he gets a run in the team. As everyone else. George Harding says, Michael O'Neill didn't praise the fans. That's the only dampener, because that was the best atmosphere since either Everton away or Liverpool away.
If I could just say in his defence that when you hear his little bit of an interview with me, I think he might say something about the fans. But he was surrounded by not only local media, he was surrounded by national media and all the Irish media too. And it was pouring with rain. The interviews were done in the little tunnel area. There were people coming past him all the time. There were people trying to get photos of him. It was quite a difficult situation. I'm sure he's been used to more. But he basically, if you saw him at the end of the match, he wanted to get off the pitch and get down the tunnel and leave the players to accept the acclaim that they did. So I've got no problems with him acting the way he did.
Cambridge Stokey says he seems to play everyone in his best positions and doesn't seem bothered about sticking to some system. Castle Rock Biscuit says he's just finished a round of golf. I think that's a little bit later than when he did. But went for a pint after as usual and was applauded in the clubhouse. Not because of my golf, but as an own Stoke fan. It was the respect that Michael O'Neill has, and now he's our manager. So there you are. Leonard Smith says, Duff is on 50 or 60k a month, he says. Another waste of space. I think it's more like a week, isn't it, Ange?
I don't know, but there's quite a few people you could say they get more money in every football club than they're perhaps worth. And, there's no comment. That's your opinion.
Lee Carter says, hi, Ange, remember me?
Well, I do know. You've just explained.
I used to sit behind you in the booth end, and my dad used to get beat by you at squash. I've been living in Cyprus for the last 11 years and listen to your amazing show with Russ every week whilst working in the mortuary. Ha ha, all the best, keep up the great work.
Listen, it's lovely to speak to
you. That must be the weirdest place this show is listened to.
If it's true. I can think of lots of things to say to that, but there won't. Lee, if you want to direct message me afterwards on Twitter, we can have a catch up. And regards to your family.
Martin Eagle says, O'Neill has made more sense in his 15 minutes worth of interview since Friday than Nathan Jones did in 10 months of repetitive soundbites. I'm not getting carried away, but reading how much the fans and media in Northern Ireland idolise him, I think we're very lucky to have him at the club. Morton Dahl says,
Can I interrupt you about Morton? If you have a look on our Twitter feed, you will see that Tollgate have actually put a picture up of Morton working on the oil rig where he is standing there with his little ear defenders and a very nice picture of 4-2 in Norwegian, because I can speak Norwegian hand language, And he was just celebrating on the Troll Oil and Gas field in the North Sea. So thank you very much for getting in touch with us and for listening to the show and for your support of our football club. It's great to see people so happy in all sorts of parts of the world at the moment. So thanks for listening, and really thanks to you and everybody else for supporting us. It must have been much nicer than the people who were over and left on Monday after that terrible display.
Next player in January, asks from the oil rig.
I've no idea. Who do you think?
Well, it's completely fool's game, isn't it? Mm. Who knows? I think you'll know that. How did Stephen Ward play yesterday, Ange?
Better than he played the other night.
Okay. Well, that wouldn't be difficult.
Well, I'm saying them on
Neil Price says, any news regarding the backroom staff? I've read Andy Cousins is here, and then the likes of Billy McKinley, Austin McPhee, and Jimmy Nicol are rumoured to be joining Michael's backroom team.
Honestly, I've nothing. I don't know where you've heard some of the stories from, but I've
probably
heard,
Irish press, probably.
I've heard similar. And he'll bring in whoever he brings in, and the club will back him, like they've backed every other manager. And we'll just have to see where it goes from here.
George Harding says, I wonder if Bauer and Afobe will be welcome back. And Leonard in response says, Bauer will always be welcome back. One of our best players when we got relegated. Andy Furnio says, this just shows your football opinion, I still think Afobe can do a job, but Bauer, no thanks. Tammy Bristow says, what we need at this club is players who would die for it. And Mamadou is one of them. I love the guy.
You can't fault Mamadou's effort. I don't think you can fault McLean's effort either.
I tell you what, he was one of the few on that dreadful day at Coventry. I mean, he tried his best, but, you know, he was just, it was just awful. It was, you know, every chance he had, he missed, and he was getting awful stick. I felt so sorry for the fella. George Harding says, does anyone know why Badu was on the bench? Well, he wasn't fit, was he? So why was he on the bench, Ange?
He wasn't 100% fit, as Hayden Evans has said.
Yes, that's true. But why was he on the bench?
Because he wasn't 100% fit.
Well, why was he on the bench at all?
Well, I would rather have a Bedouin die who's 10% fit than some of the other people you'd put on there.
Jordan
Russell.
Cousins. Well, surely Jordan Cousins would have been better
than
Badu
and die. Well, there you go. He was on the bench. He was on the bench.
Okay. Well, who else have we got?
Well, you pick whoever you want.
Lassie Sorensen. Paul Higgs says, it does make you wonder if the club are just giving Butland some games just to try and get a better price for him than they would if he'd been stuck on the bench for months. His positioning and reaction to that second goal was the epitome of apathy towards our current situation. The sooner he goes, the better, for whatever we can get for him out of contract the season after next. Paul, I'm not sure about everything you've said there, but there certainly was something wrong with that second goal and his positioning.
Those of you that were right down at the front when we scored the first goal, when everybody went shooting up to where Butland was and started jumping around, could you explain to me why he suddenly started pushing everybody back to the centre, every single one? I mean, you know, it just seemed very odd. He seemed more animated doing that than he did to try and save the second goal. I'm not knocking him. I think he would be better for him if he left the football club because things have gone stale.
Woods was great and he talks to the players, says Stuart Faulkner. Stacey Whitlock said Butland would bring some money in, let him go. George Harding says Michael O'Neill is also taking charge of the March international matches.
No, he's not. He's only taking charge of the March international matches if they're in a playoff situation.
Okay. Leonard Smith says, according to Darren Bent, We told Nathan he was fired 2 weeks before we announced it. Neil Price says, very happy with the new manager. Think he's going to get us up that table. Nigel Keats says, I think that if Michael O'Neill has insisted on tying up the loose ends at Northern Ireland, it just shows how passionate and committed he is as a manager. Ben Cliff says, here's my opinion on the O'Neill appointment. I think Alex Neil had said yes to us, but Preston said no. And of all the so-called rumoured managers interviewed, Michael O'Neill was head and shoulders above anyone else interviewed. And I also think, as much as I don't want to say it, if we get relegated, which could still happen, I think Michael O'Neill should stay with us in League One. Whereas if we'd gotten in, say, Pewley, Smoys, etc., I don't think they would stay with us. And then we'd be relegated to League One. With no manager, so for me, O'Neill is a solid manager and he will stick with us if the worst comes to the worst, but I'm confident he'll keep us up and then build for next season. Tina Priestley says, I think O'Neill would make us less defensively naive. We're still worryingly poor at the back, though. Let's not get carried away. The shape was better. Love the show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
George Harding says, let's be realistic. Michael O'Neill wouldn't have accepted the job if he only been offered a contract till the end of the season. I think we already commented on that a while ago. The only managers that would have taken that are non-employable managers. Mark Bowen is doing a grand job, isn't he, by the way?
I just say that it's probably a good job that he is, because when you appoint yourself as technical director, sack the manager and then replace the manager with yourself, you've got to be good, haven't you?
Andrew Tunnicliffe says, Lambert had a contract till the end of the season, I thought, so he should not be on the books any road. Am I right?
I think that's correct.
Dan Eyre says, I am happy we got O'Neill. I'm so happy with the result. And yes, I can't help getting a little excited again, but also fearful this may be a blip and it all comes crashing down again. Very cautious, but the early signs are looking okay. I think you're suffering from Stoke derangement syndrome, which I think most of us have fallen into over the last 4 years. And I think, Dan, at some point it's got to turn round and we've got to get the ship moving in the right direction again. Let's hope it's now. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, who appointed this manager? For the last four, we're down to John Coates, and Peter Coates wanted someone else, according to Andrew.
Well, my understanding is that the board appointed the manager, and I think if there was a final say to be had, it was John, but I can only say that that's what I've heard. It's all speculation anyway. I think the manager will do a very good job for us, and let's be honest, we haven't had a great track record of appointing good managers over all the years the Coates family have been in charge.
Lee Stokey reckons Lambert's deal was a 2.5-year deal, but I'm not 100%. I think that's Lambert's deal. I'm not sure about
that. I don't know.
Tony O'Rourke says, I am Stokey from Adelaide.
Hiya.
In South Australia. Great win yesterday, so good to see a team playing as a team. The passion and fight was there. Players looking comfortable, playing in positions they're meant to be in. Thank the Lord the diamond has gone up the Marty Potters. Great show, by the way. Thank you, Tony.
You're listening in Adelaide. Are you... it's not that early in the morning for you, but have you got an early start? And thank you very much for listening.
Andrew Tunnicliffe says, I'm sure he had an option from both sides to an extension.
Yeah, I think it was an option, yeah.
Liam Cope says, best performance in the Stoke shirt from James McLean. Kev Hancock says, that was because he was played in his proper position. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, how was Tom Ince playing yesterday? I think he's looking to move on for sure.
I thought he played okay for about 60 minutes. I thought he put himself about a bit at the start, and I thought he was subbed at the right time.
Well, Andy Furnio says he was playing. Was he playing? I went and I never saw him.
That's because you were doing the conga, Andy.
Yeah. Anthony Bradshaw says we should be aiming to go unbeaten until Christmas.
I agree, Anthony. And when you look at the matches, if you want to type them on the feed and let's get people's opinion of how we can do, because I think they're quite winnable. We've got Wigan, then we've got Cardiff, we've got Hull, we've got Blackburn, we've got Hull, and I've missed one out, I can't remember which it is.
Tammy Bristow says, sick of hearing we're in a false position. We've not played anywhere near well enough for the majority of the games, but let's put that behind us now. Play a decent formation and watch us improve. You're going to hear that quite a bit from me, that we're in a false position, I'm afraid, Tammy. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, we still need to sort the defence out. It stood out to Miles yesterday, and I'm sure O'Neill will address this by what I've read about
him. And that is a worry, because we haven't got a proper left-back at the club. For whatever reason, we haven't got a left-back. So you're not going to have... you're going to have somebody playing that position. I think Bruno Martins-Indy's done very well at it. I thought Danny Bart looked a bit hit and miss yesterday. I just wonder if Collins will be back in shortly. Silence is no good on the radio, Russ.
And somewhere on Facebook. Mm. You just got to
look
there.
We're also on the radio.
Mark Cotton says, our fullbacks have been made to look stupid by having no width in front of them. Loads of the goals we've conceded have been through a lack of width in front of our poorest defence. Our fullbacks have been done 2-on-1 on loads of occasions I've witnessed over the last year. Jack Holmes, in relation to this penalty, pseudo-penalty, I bet it says there was no contact and it wasn't a pen. Andy Furnio says, first goal of Klikas is the kind of goal we'd have been conceding under Jones.
Definitely.
Jim Ashley says, too much negativity around the club recently. We need to look on the positives, which is the team we have and the standard of the players. Yesterday we showed our real quality that we offer in our side. I think it's hard, let's be honest, Jim, I think it's hard not to be negative over the last 3 or 4 years. So just hope we can be positive from now on. Anthony Bradshaw says, look at the Irish. So it is. Ben Cliff says it wasn't a penalty. Ange Ward didn't touch him at all. He dived. Even the guys on Goals on Quest agreed. But it could definitely have been given. If looked at it at first, but looking at it properly, it definitely wasn't a penalty. Andy Furnio says, what's Quest? I'm not sure he's trying to be... I'm sure he's driving funny there.
It's a new formation. It replaces the diamond, Andy.
I think he's been sarcastic. Because he says to Tammy, Tammy says Andy Furnio is the championship version of Match of the Day. Andy Furnio says, I have no reason to watch any sort of programme for 3 years.
No, and isn't it funny? How many people, in all honesty, that are listening to the show or watching the show tonight, watch Quest last night, watch Match of the Day? I watched Quest. I have never watched it before, but I watched it. Because I just wanted to see us score the goals again.
Well, it's funny, when I got home from Nantwich, Ange, first thing I did was turn on the Leicester-Arsenal game, and I wouldn't have cared if we'd lost. You know, so it just shows you. Chris Scott says, saw Chris this afternoon at the ladies' game, Ange. Regards to celebration, first maybe Jack was pushing the players back because Barnsley could have kicked off as all our players were in their half celebrating. Is that right, Ange?
Possibly.
That's a new rule, isn't it? Have we actually seen anybody do anything about that yet?
I haven't, no.
Sarah Wilshaw says, common sense management yesterday. Change the shape to suit the players' strengths, as Tony Pulis said last night. You get the feeling that after listening to what Tony was saying on the He Who Shall Not Be Named on Quest last night, that Tony's been pulling what little part of his hair he's got left out watching us lately.
Yes, he did seem a little bit bald.
Yeah, I think he's... No, I'm not, that wasn't what I meant, but I think he's been watching us with deep frustration,
yeah.
I think, over the last few weeks. That's definite. Melanie Stanway says you have to earn respect. I presume that's a reference to the manager. Tommy Bristow says, Nathan James often said, it's only a matter of time until we roll the team over. Funny how it happened yesterday, once we played 4-3-3 and lost cubic zirconia. Ben Cliff says, we also have to remember that we are incredibly lucky that the first game we have under new manager is against a team that are probably just as poor as us. We could have been unlucky and played a harder team like Leeds or Preston. A win is a win, and a win breeds confidence. It's the luck of the Irish, it is. So, there we go. Stuart Fulton says, players don't turn bad overnight. Stephen Malt says, great performance and result yesterday. Once Martin O'Neill gets the bat four... Martin O'Neill. You made that mistake,
yeah,
didn't you? Once Michael O'Neill gets the back four right, we'll be up and running. Bournemouth Stokey. Okay, Steve. Now, thank you for listening from Bournemouth. Lovely part of the world. Dan Eyre says, the difference, Ange, is the Luton fans were gnashing their teeth, whilst the Northern Ireland fans have done nothing but being gracious and wish Michael O'Neill well. That simply shows the measure of the man and the respect they hold him in.
Very true.
I agree. The players really need to look at themselves. It also looks like they've realised that they're dealing with a manager who will not suffer fools gladly and will not be their mate. And with a high regard Michael O'Neill is held in, they can't hide anymore.
Shall we just listen to what Michael O'Neill had to say? But before you do that, I'll read a message from Jason in Japan from our... email studio@notfm.co.uk. Hi, Ange and Russ. I hope you're well. I wasn't able to see the game, but I've read all the papers about it throughout the world this morning. Well, well, look what happens when you play people in their correct positions and do away with a diamond. I just hope, like all Stokies, that this appointment of Mr. O'Neill will be the right one. Positive signs. Just hope they don't fade after the international break. Sam Clucas, wow. Looking forward to Wigan now instead of Dread. Thanks for the show. Best wishes from Japan.
Okay, let's hear what Michael O'Neill said to our very own, eminent, honoured, Angela Smith after the game yesterday.
From international football, the game, the intensity of the game never really relented. I thought possibly after 20 minutes it might settle down, but the lads in the dugout told me, no, it'll be like this for 90 minutes, which is good. You just have to get used to that. And but it was a good start. This is a tough place to come. It's a tough place, I think, for any team to come. And, you know, us coming, we're a little bit fragile mentally, let's be honest. you know, we're sitting at the bottom of the table, so it was a good place to come and get a good away win.
You've got some matches that may look easier on paper. I know games are never mm-hmm. easy to win, but on paper we've got after the international break, we've got a few fixtures that look easier than some others. But how are you going to instill confidence? You've already said the confidence is fragile. It certainly didn't look like that today.
No.
How are you going to make that work?
We just to continue with the work on the training pitch and get results. It's as simple as that. You know, we worked on in all honesty, the system we worked on was more similar to Monday, so we didn't have long to work on the 4-3-3, if anything. We just picked a team off my gut instinct, in all honesty, that I felt would be well suited to that. I think, you know, the likes of Tom and James coming into the team and Ryan Woods, we'd get a reaction to that. You know, players on the outside who've been looking in, possibly not able to play because the system that was there before possibly didn't suit them. So I think that's the most important thing to instill confidence, is to continue to put another layer on that, you know, in the training pitch. And when the game comes round against Wigan, you know, hopefully we'll be at the same level. Well, I know we'll have to be at the same level, and we'll make sure that in terms of possession and everything, we'll just look to improve in every area of the game, and that's much, you know, game by game basis, but equally it's always easier to do that when you're getting results.
And mind you, if he appeared out of the cold, I suspect he wouldn't have known some of the players' names he was playing with until today. He almost scored as well, so what were the thinking behind that?
Just, you know, as I say, I come in with a clean slate, so I can't really comment on what's happened beforehand and why players have been involved or not involved, but I know he's a popular player here, both within the playing squad, within the staff as well, and with the fan base. So he's still a player that has loads to offer. So having him back in, you know, he's been a player that's played for this club and been a good player for this club in the Premier League. So given where we are now, we can't afford to ignore a player like that. And it's good to have him back in, and it was good to get him on the pitch.
Well, you've seen how many fans we can take away when we're doing well, so I'm sure that you'll enjoy your first game at the Bet365, and welcome to Stoke. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Now we'll carry on. I hope you you got a flavour of he's a no nonsense guy, and he just gets on with things. And he clearly just picked that team because he thought they might get a reaction. Before we go back to all
the messages, you're not going to do Irish attempts at impression, Irish accent every week now,
no,
are you?
No.
It'll improve, I'm sure. I hope it does.
Listen,
anyway.
He's betting my dear one.
You won't get
the Big Brother
house.
You won't
get an honour for impressions.
I won't get any honours anymore. Going back to nice people in nice places, rather than
I'm not better
Russell,
at all.
listening to our mate Adrian from the Seychelles, he says, round pegs in round holes. Who'd have thought it? I'm just annoyed we now have an international break. I'm actually looking forward to the next game for the first time in a long time. You may remember that Adrian's the guy that opens a bottle of fizz when we win, and he's now using the vintage stuff because he's bought a bottle every week and we haven't used it.
He's had to buy a few bottles of fizz over the last few weeks. A lot more than lately, anyway.
He has.
A lot more than recently. Anyway, Kevin Bauer says, great comment, Ange. The players should hang their heads in shame. One thing I liked, he didn't hang around and milk the applause. Instead, he ran in. As obviously he doesn't claim the limelight. Well, there's somebody else who used to manage us who used to run in straight after the final whistle. He who shall not be named, if you remember. George Harding says, the Everton goal was an Arnie Penno.
Yeah, and Hosselu.
And Hosselu hugged Mark Clattenburg for giving the penalty. I've had all this afternoon because everybody's been talking about it. When was the last time we did this? Andrew Tunnicliffe says, they're playing Butland to get his price up, he thinks.
I wouldn't be surprised. You've got to do something well to get your price up.
Scott Price says, Lee Gregory's hold-up play was brilliant again.
It was outstanding.
And got the ball forward a lot more instead of just passing it backwards. Players in their favourite positions made a difference and looked more balanced. The goals by Sam Clucas were excellent. Just coming back to that interview by Michael O'Neill, when the manager says, the new manager says, players were played in possibly formations that didn't really get the best out of them or something like that. What he actually means is players have definitely been played in positions that don't get the best out of them because they've told me so the first time I've seen them. And so have the coaches. So you can get adrift about things that maybe... But I'm disappointed in the coaches who are there, Ange, if they're not prepared to face Nathan up and say these things to him, if they did or they didn't.
Well, it's something we'll never know.
I mean, it's quite clear what the implication of what he's saying is.
Yeah.
That's what he's been told when he's gone in there.
Magwitch on the Oatcake says, evening all, I was very encouraged by both the result and the display yesterday, which was exactly what we needed for the fans and Michael O'Neill. My opinion about Jones proved to be completely wrong. Have I said this before? But I don't think O'Neill will go the same way as the last two managers. He appears to be a manager who will not fall for something as spurious as the Diamond strategy. I have read that out before. I apologise. Russell, you need to carry on while I find where I am on all these messages that are coming through.
Well, I've got plenty. Why was Badu dropped yesterday after being our best player? He was actually unfit, Rich, because he was injured on Monday night against West Bromwich Albion. So he wasn't fit enough to start anyway. Danny Marsden says, with Rowett and Jones, there seemed to be an air of optimism when they were appointed, which we weren't really ready for. But with O'Neill, there seems to be an air of calm and a sense of business as usual, which is exactly what we need right now. Great show as always, and fantastic work, Andrew, with the council regarding the ticket news. Well, I'm sure Andrew will be mentioning that later on.
Lee Davies says... Award for? Never mind.
Are you, rubbing it, you keep rubbing it in, don't you? I'm waiting for mine next year. Lee Davies says, don't you think he's playing Butland to get him back in the shop window? There's another similar comment. Anthony Bradshaw says, Andy Cousins, Manchester City and NI Scout is coming. Very highly rated, apparently. Tammy says, as I've just said, that Badu went down injured on Monday, so he probably wasn't 100% fit. Mike Edge says that Thibaut was injured. How far off is he from coming back?
Well, I mean, I don't think he'll play in the internationals, so let's hope that gives him the time to recover.
Phil Brough says, I like Michael O'Neill. I mentioned his name before Rowett arrived. A total disciplinarian, which is what we need.
So it's your fault then, Phil, that we didn't get to
Highlight that. Well, we'll highlight that as well, just in case it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Ben Cliff says, and here's a quick thing to tell people. O'Neill is on $1.5 million a year. Marcelo Bielsa is on $6 million a year and doesn't even speak English. So I think we've got the better deal. And he hasn't come for the money, for sure. Well, you can't argue with what Bielsa's doing either for the $6 million. He's certainly got a chance of going.
You can afford to buy a seat, though, rather than sit on a blue upturned plastic bucket, can't you?
Blue upturned plastic bucket, yeah. Jackie Steele says, sorry, only just tuned in. This is getting past a joke now from Jackie, isn't it? Tuning in late. Great away day for me, as his Pickman fixtures were released. And as always, and I always take my brother for his birthday in November. Great present for him. Fans were amazing. Do we know how many more were sold on the gate on the day?
No, and I don't suspect we will, because I'm sure that therefore then they can, Barnsley aren't the richest club in the world, then I'm sure they can put that money to good use.
Stuart Faulkner says, maybe more Irish players to come. Andy Purcell says, hi Ange, if I missed it I'm sorry. But why, when you do the press conferences with our managers, whoever it may be, have I never heard anyone ask about the goalkeeper we brought in from Barnsley? Have you all been told not to ask what is going on there?
Andy, I asked Nathan Jones why Adam Davies hadn't had a chance, and his answer was, we have three good goalkeepers at this club. He's got to play his way into the team. There's nothing other than that. That's what he told me.
And nobody would tell Ange say anything?
In actual fact, at this point, I'm going to say that nobody at the press conferences that I have ever been to tells anybody not to ask anything. The only time anything has been said was when, if you may remember, Nathan Jones didn't front up for one of the press conferences. He did the Sky thing at Clayton Wood, and we had Paul Hart, and all we were told was there was nothing sinister in it. And so I will say that on Stoke's behalf. They don't sort of vet any questions. Like the lad Galismo says, a great win. Mickey got our team set up brilliantly yesterday. Kukas had another great game. He just can't stop scoring. Mr. Northern Ireland Colin Murray was praising our new manager, saying we will go places with Mickey at the wheel. Also, Mam Duf will score 10 goals plus this season for us. Wow. Are they all going to be in one game? Neddy, Duf maybe because it's on 50k a week and they need to reduce the wage bill drastically, re-FFP. Well, that possibly could be true, but I think there's players on more than Mam Duf. Callis 12, speaking about players frozen out and being reintroduced under the new regime, I wonder if Benny Cofobi will get another opportunity when he's recovered from his injury. He may fit better into the new system, and if he could replicate the form and scoring record he managed at Bristol City in his short spell there, he might be an already signed up goal scorer waiting in the wings.
Couldn't agree more, Ange. Okay, George Harding says, Ange, To answer your question, the reason Butland pushed the players back up the pitch was because with them being in their own half, Barnsley could have kicked off. However, he didn't see Lee Gregory sat in the Barnsley half, so they couldn't restart. That's the only reason he wanted the players to focus.
I thought that I thought he'd have probably seen Lee Gregory, so thanks for that.
Gareth Moore says we're on the up. Gary Pardy says he's no chest thumper. He just concentrates on the job in hand. We're very lucky to have an educated, smart manager. Dan Mullock on Twitter says nothing revolutionary. Just playing players in the right places. Win the ball and get it up top because Gregory has a great touch and can hold it up. Get up and support him and things will and do happen. Get in. Great stuff. Roger Barnett says we need another winger. Can we get Verlinden back? Good result yesterday. Shooting at goal at last. Matt Robinson says yesterday was brilliant. But we've had those many turning points over the last 4 years. We'll leave it a few games before we decide. And Simon Murray says, well said, Gary Pardy. Liam Clarkson says, we won't need a left-back now. We've got Ward until Christmas, and then we go in for one in January. Steve Jones says, in my opinion, Butland is only being played because he's going in January and needs to be playing so we get more money for him. His positioning for the second goal was absolutely shocking and give up before the player had even hit the ball. It was awful. Liam Cope says, slightly worried about the cover we have in wide areas, as Jones has already heavily recruited for players to suit the diamond formation. Liam Clarkson says, do you think Jones will go back to Luton?
No, I think he goes to Hibernian.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Martin Eagle says, I watched the highlights last night again and this morning, then again shortly after, only to show my uninterested 9-year-old twin daughters the first Clucas goal. Joanne Campbell says, goalkeeping 101. On a breakaway, the goalie must move forward to decrease the angles. Butland was poor on every shot yesterday. I thought he could even have come out to the ball when he came over the top. Not just stand there like that. It was shocking. Perhaps he was worried about getting sent off, Ange, if he took the man out.
Crouch Potato 1 on the Oatcake says, evening to you both. A great win yesterday and a very good managerial appointment from the club, in my opinion, also. A special word for Sam Clucas also seems to be a bit of a whipping boy for me, but this season I think he's put in some very good performances, including yesterday. Also good to see Ryan Woods back, and he had a very good game. The teacher, evening. After Jones was sat, Rory came out and made a comment that the temporary management team had spent the week trying to simplify the training. This told me lots about the previous manager and the problems that we have all been seeing on the pitch. The players looked as though they didn't understand or believe in what they were being asked to do. Michael O'Neill came in and we put in a good performance with a win against a poor team. Michael O'Neill put square pegs in square holes, excuse me, and the performance was much, much better. I feel that praise must go to Rory for any guidance shared with the new manager and to the new manager for simplifying the shape of the team. Great first step, but we have to be mindful that we beat a poor team. We had some luck with a couple of excellent goals, which a month ago could have ended up in Rose Ed. The journey to recovery has started. The journey is a long one, but it does appear that we have a manager and not just a coach who, it appears, was filling the players' minds with the formation and systems. One swallow doesn't make a summer, but let's hope that our summer has started in November 2019. Confident? I think so, because it does appear that we have a manager, a leader, and not just a coach. And with a fair share of luck, that corner might have just started to be turning. Sometimes we all make our own luck in life. Let's hope that we now have a lucky manager. And Mr. Red says, good evening, guys. Hope you both well. The biggest takeaway for me, re Colin Murray's comments, was O'Neill's ability to adapt to the opposition and his unwillingness to stand for lack of effort. It gives me hope that he'll identify who needs binning. As you've said, the players' conduct has been deplorable, and even if we see a big turn in fortunes, I wouldn't bat an eyelid if half of this squad is culled, Butland included. Hope to see you on Wednesday, Mr. Red. Jacob says, evening all. Re Butland, at 4-1 up, maybe Jack was wary of racing out towards their player and getting sent off.
How funny that is. I hadn't seen that, obviously.
No. I would have expected him to make some effort, however. The chance was well taken. It was his first shot, you know. It was his first touch that guy scored with. The chance was well taken. Unlucky for Federici. I'm sure he'll be back. O'Neill set us up. O'Neill set up to most people by surprise. He suggested he'll be flexible in his approach to each game. Our next opponents will have a bit more to think about. Great results, all very positive.
Okay. Luton already have their James as manager, says George Harding. Liam Clarkson says, who would a Tebow come in to replace when he's back fully fit? See, this is the question that we've got to answer.
It's nice to have an answer,
yeah. But as he says, we've probably got too many players in certain positions. Jackie Steele says, was it another football stadium today? Work-related. Quite a few people who I know support Stoke and came to say, we've made a great appointment and he will do well for us, for which they support various teams. It was nice to know. He's Martin O'Neill is a cheeky little fella, says Dan
Michael.
There. Did I say Martin again? That's going to happen, isn't it? I can see this happening.
I just say Mon.
I'm going to say on O'Neill. He is playing the card that he does not know the players, but it seems he has done far more research and is more knowledgeable about the players than he lets on. I am sure that is the case. Keeping his cards close to his hand, I like it. Or close to his chest, even, I think is the best way of saying it, although we make enough errors on this programme, so you shouldn't criticise anyone else for making one. George Harding says, it's just a shame. Not many fans will be travelling to the next away game, as some joker at the EFL decided Stoke should travel to Cardiff on a Tuesday night rather than a game against Wigan, Birmingham or West Brom. Darren Woolley says Ryan Woods was man of the match.
I didn't think he was.
Who did you think was man of
the match? I thought Lee Gregory played his heart out, and then you'd always look at Klukas, but Woods played well. I don't think anybody played badly, actually.
George Harding says, one thing you can pass on, Ange, was the food bar was a joke yesterday. Only one of the kiosks opened out of the two, and they ran out of food and change. Yes, change. They were charging me £5 for a Bovril. For 3,000 fans, it wasn't very safe with lots of pushing and crushing just for this one kiosk.
Well, pass on your message, thank you.
Ben Cliff says, as both my football manager and rugby manager say, do the basics right and the rest will follow. That epitomises Michael O'Neill. Ted says the Cardiff and Hull tickets go on sale on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Gaz Hall says, great 3 points. Well, there was more fight than the lads and nice to see. And he looks a top manager. Lee Davies says, Luton don't look good this season with the diamond. Gary Eagle says, regarding the point of him not responding to the fans at the end of the match after the first game in charge, what should he be doing, Okoki, Conger, or a couple of backflips? Give him a bit of respect. Stuart Fortner says, do you think any of Nathan Jones's 12 players will go in January?
I think there's a strong possibility of those that have been brought and haven't been played. I think you would want to go. Absolution on the Oatcake says, I didn't see the incident with Butland pushing the players back up the pitch after we scored, but if all our players were celebrating in our own half, then Barnsley would have been free to take the kick-off and been able to run and challenge towards our goal. There's been some proper comedy goals scored like this. Yeah, Absolution, but as we also said, and Dave F has just reiterated, Lee Gregory was in their half. Warrington says, I remember Villa scoring at Birmingham a few seasons ago, and the Villa players ran the length of the pitch to celebrate with the Villa fans, and all the players chased him. The referee told one of the Villa players to remain in the other half to stop this type of thing occurring, so Birmingham couldn't kick off. Well, they wouldn't tell us, would they? How sad, by the way, just on a little aside, how sad that people are talking about Arsenal having to get a new manager. I really like their manager. I'll like him even more if he gets the sack. Because
why are you having a dig at Arsenal?
I just don't like them. And it just suddenly came into my mind that how all of them had been having a go at us. I just thought I'd get that one back in. Bad luck.
Odd luck. Okay, Scott Price says, Tebow should be straight back in. He's been one of our best players on the pitch before his recent injury. Play with Joe Allen and Badu and Dai. Why would you leave Klukas out, says George Harding. Dan Ayer says, it's vodka night, is it, Russ? No, it's actually just water. It's iced water to keep my flipping throat going because I've had a virus all week, but I've won a year, don't I?
One vodka?
I don't have vodka. Okay. No, much worse than that. Scott Price says, it's a tough decision. Our midfield is the best part of the current team and with a few options. That's very true. I agree with that. Tebow, Badu, Allen recently was the best midfield this season against Swansea and Fulham. Ossian asks, who is our player of the season so far? That's an interesting question.
It is very, very much so. And before we carry on, we are aware that we've been talking for almost an hour and a half about everything yesterday, but we do have a match before the next show because, of course, we're off next week with no show. We do have a match that we need to discuss, and we're going to have a few minutes on that after we've done a few more messages. So if you want to say anything about that upcoming game and what you'd like to see or send us your predictions, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, as we're about just over halfway through the show, nigh on three quarters of the way through the show, we need to update you on the ladies' side of the, or the women's side of the club. Very good performance. What is going on down
I'm
there?
I'm getting
Ange?
You a biscuit to shut
oh
you up.
Oh my God. Right. Great
like
performance.
Ginger nuts. There's plenty of answers you could bring back for that.
Do you mind? I'm
sorry.
Being serious here, talking about the women. Our first team women had a fantastic win today, 3-0 at Clayton Wood on the artificial surface today rather than the grass pitch, by the way, Ange. Don't know what the reason for that was, but it seemed to work anyway because they won 3-0 against Fylde ladies, who had it was a very nice return, or unfortunate return, for Ashley Hayes as well, who's now playing for Fylde. Nothing really worked for them today, I have to say. Stoke were dominant all the way through, really, and after last week's performance, that was a little bit unexpected because they really struggled last week, but this week was a completely different story. So they've got the league run back, and they're back in second place in the table now, Ange.
Great.
So that's fantastic, with some winnable games to come. And they've got to hope Sunderland slip up now, obviously, but after losing to them last week, because they're about 4 or 5 points clear. But Rasheen Cavell, Faye McCoy and Abby Hunt with a goal right towards the end, a solo goal, where she took the ball on her own, run across the defence, and then hit a left foot strike right into the corner of the goal, past the goalkeeper, and it was fantastic. And Angie's just seen that goal as we speak on Twitter. The reserves played the Loughborough Foxes, and they won 2-1 in the Women's Reserve Cup. Jodie Foxall and Jordan Sloan got the goals there. Now, the next game for the first team is away next week on Sunday, I think, at Walsall in the County Cup. And then the following week, I think the ladies are at home to Wolves in the League Cup, Ange. So some big local derby there, because Wolves will bring a few people to go and watch that one. So the League Cup really is a target for Stoke this year. They're really hoping to go a long, long way in that competition. So get down there and support them. If you can't get to the County Cup in Walsall next week, in a fortnight's time, get down to support that, because it should be a cracker against Wolves, Ange.
Absolution on the Oatcake says, okay, I posted about Butland's actions before anyone replied about Gregory. Got a few more to catch up on here, and then we'll go on
I've got Sam Clucas as well at some point, Ange. But,
okay, well, whenever.
Anyway.
Get Sam Clucas on, I can have another biscuit.
No, I will not. You can have another biscuit now, because I've got loads to read out on here. Don't start getting on. Do I have to call you a dame?
You can call me whatever you like.
You
call me a lot worse.
Dame, what are you?
I should just bother with Angela. Stick with Angela. It's far better than most of the things
Duchess,
you call me.
Duchess, what?
Yeah, that'll do.
The Duchess of what? Duchess of Staffs? Duchess
Butnell.
Of Butnell. you know you're going to get some stick for this, don't you? When's the ceremony?
Wednesday.
Am I invited?
No.
Oh.
Just a select few.
Oh, flipping heck. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, nice one, Ange, over Arsenal. Andy Furnio says, I can't advise on Butland, read the first goal, because I was busy going mental. So there you are. Darren Woolley says, I wouldn't change the team against Wigan. Liam Clarkson says, is the issue with having too many players in the same positions causing negativity in the changing room? I know I wouldn't be happy if I wasn't selected. Michael O'Neill needs to stamp his authority and make a point of a consistent squad. Yeah, but if he keeps it consistent, then he's ostracising people out of the team. George Harding says, Steve Bold for the next Arsenal manager. Then you will like the Gooners.
Yeah, especially if he gets them relegated.
Ben Cliff says, and finally we have an answer to where is Ryan Woods. That's fantastic. Ossian says, what do you think about the new manager? It's too early to say, I think, but our first impressions are very positive.
Did you say it was Ossian?
Ossian.
Okay.
Tom Chadwick says, hi, Ange and Russ, hope you're well.
We are, thank you.
We're not really. We've both got sore throats, haven't we?
Well, yes, but I didn't have one until...
You came in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a quick one. Do you think the international break is going to be the downfall of us again, even more so if the manager hasn't seen his players in training?
Well, I think I answered that earlier on, Thomas, but... he said that there'll be at least 10 away of our squad, and it's very difficult to train when you're at a club at that time of year. Those that are left behind will know exactly what they have to do because the coaching team will tell them. And he'll be back after the game the following Wednesday, a week on Wednesday. So he'll be back on the Thursday, I would guess, to take the training. And if he has double the time that he had this week, just think how good we could get eight in the next match if he has double the time. And anybody who doesn't think this is vodka in this pint glass, you should be sitting next to me. Like, smell the fumes coming off it.
Look, I'm going to get that award. I'm going to get that award cancelled if you don't be quiet.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I don't think this voice is going to hold out, though, Ange.
Well, that's good.
Neil Price says, versus Wigan, a 3-0 win. Then we got a real chance to get a series of results, whether it wins or draws or build up our points tally.
I worked out that we probably need about 4. Well, we need the equivalent of 14 wins. So we got to get about 43, 45 points, probably 44 with our current difference, an extra 44 points. And I think if you look at the list of games we got before Boxing Day, I think we've got a very good chance of getting a good volume of points at that point.
Let's hear from Sam Klukas anyway. I hope.
A great performance and not a great victory.
Yeah, much needed one as well. Obviously, you always say sometimes when you have a change, and like we've had with change, you always get that bump for the first game. It was brilliant today. We brought a lot across and could hear them all through the game, and that's what definitely helped us. But it was a great performance from everyone today. Thought was fully deserved of the win. We played well, and like I say, we can't get ahead of ourselves because we're in a false position. We should be where we are. I keep saying that, but we need to take performances on the pitch. I thought we did that today, so hopefully this is the turning point. We'll give ourselves a good chance. We've got plenty of games left, and we've just got to keep trying to tip these games off and trying to climb up the league.
And what a great start. Just tough to see that goal.
Yeah, it just fell to me, and I just thought might as well have a go, see where it goes. And fortunately, it ended up in the net. It was a good start for us. Then we went out to get the second, and then we come out second half, and we had a bit of a probably 10 minute spell there where as soon as we conceded, we looked a bit nervy again, and I think that's just because of the position we're in and the run we've been on, to be honest with you. But we got through that, got the next goal, and then from there we was comfortable enough. But I thought it was a great team performance for everybody today, and like I say, I think we fully deserved the win.
How important was it to get that settled just to settle you all down a bit?
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, once we got the second goal, we was a bit more comfortable going into half-time. I didn't think we was in any trouble at all. We was always going to create a lot of chances after that as well. But like I say, the 10 minutes after that, every team is a good team. We're in the Championship, so they're going to have spells where they're going to be putting pressure on us, and we need to try and defend that out and see it through. If we didn't, we conceded, and it got a bit nervy. Their fans got up, and we could feel that on the pitch as well, and we're just trying to tell everyone to calm it down. But when we're not won for a while and we're in the predicament we are, it does get a bit nervy out there. So, like I said, luckily we got through it, got the next goal, and I thought it was comfortable from there on.
Yeah, so that must show great character to not allow that goal to affect you.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, it's difficult because of the position we're in. It could have been easy just to sit back and end up conceding again, and then if we'd gone 2-0, it'd be even more nervy. So, no, it's brilliant character from the boys, and we needed that, definitely. I say it's good to score more than two goals as well, because I don't know, a few of the boys are saying it's been a couple of years, I think, since we scored three or more goals, so it's brilliant to do that. And like I say, hopefully this is the start now, because in the past we got two good wins against two teams, and then we got three losses, which we shouldn't have done. So hopefully this is the start of it. We need to turn it around. Like I say, we need to start climbing up the league. We've got some fixtures which we can look at, and I think we can really attack now. And hopefully, breathing a bit of confidence off this game, we can take that into the next games.
Nice, has only been at the club, 24, 48 hours, but what sort of things he's done with you or said to you during that period to be able to get this result today?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind 24 hours, to be fair, because no one was sure if he's going to come in and take this game or if he's going to be Rory and that again. But now he's come straight in, hands on, took a bit of session yesterday. Like I said, we probably only had 30 minutes on the pitch yesterday working on the shape and working through it. But now he just come in, he's given us all confidence. He said what a great team we are. We need to start showing it. Like I say, it's no good being a good team on the paper or in training sessions if we're not doing it in games. And we need to do that. He set us in a solid shape today. He just told us out there to go and enjoy it and get on the ball and be solid. And I thought we did that today. And like I said, fortunately we've got 3 points, but can't get ahead of ourselves because we've been in this place before where we've got a victory and then we've gone and lost some games we shouldn't really have done. So hopefully we'll get a bit of confidence from this and moving forward we can start taking positives.
Given where both teams are in the league, how important was it to get the victory today?
Oh, massive. We can't underestimate that. I think if we lose the game today, I think maybe 9 points away from the safety, and then you start looking up and you start chasing and you think you've got to rely on other teams losing then and us winning, and it becomes an uphill task. And I've been in that position before, and it's not a nice position to be in. So it's a massive win for us today. Probably international break's come at the wrong time again for us. We'd like to have another game on Tuesday and go and get a win, but international break's here, so hopefully everyone goes away, stays injury-free. Come back, we've got a big game at home against Wigan, which one we can look forward to and hopefully get 3 points there.
Maybe 2,500 Stokies packed out that away, and just a message to them, they were fantastic today, weren't they?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I didn't know they was going to bring that many until I got out there, the warm-up, and I seen them all in there. It was brilliant. You can tell when, as soon as we get a goal behind us, great atmosphere, and it just uses on that extra 5-10%, so it's brilliant. And hopefully they can try and stick with us, but we need to do the business on the pitch. It's all down to us on the pitch, so hopefully we do that and they'll stick by us.
You came off at the end, how are you?
Yeah, I got, during that second goal, I think I followed through and kicked his foot, so I've got a bad foot, so I got to go and get it checked, I think, at the hospital, get an x-ray, but touch wood, it's nothing too bad, but sore at the minute, but hopefully it's not too bad, we'll see how it is.
Well, every time I listen to that lad, I actually think what an articulate lad he is. And I would have thought he's not backward in coming forward with his opinions in the dressing room, Ange. But Neil Price says, versus Wigan, 3-0 win, and then we've got a real chance to get a series of results, whether it's wins or draws, build up our points tally. If you're wondering why I was smiling, Angie's feeling me, what?
I don't know what that is, but I Ted. Usually call it an iPad.
Oh, okay. Ted, I was just, you know. Yeah, Ted says, Ange, I need to sort out that jumper for Jules's Christmas present. She's so excited. I've been harassed about this afternoon,
Ted,
about where is this jumper
Ted,
you're supposed to be giving.
When you give the pony's hind legs, which I think is the term for 40 quid, it was 25 we said, then I will even gift wrap the sweater for you.
You're going to wash it first?
It's already been washed, ready to go.
Has it been washed?
Comforted and everything.
The cheat says, from Stafford, otherwise known as Breezy, after yesterday's performance, I will take a risk and only take a small hip flask against Wigan. I predict a Stoke win and I would like to remember some of it. Liam Clarkson says, I would like to see a similar formation with width and pace causing a threat. A solid three in midfield with Lucas Allen and Atibo, and a back four which needs work against better teams, but I can't see anything other than a home win. My only concern is Michael O'Neill not going to be around much. That's the only bad part of the appointment for me. He should have cut his ties with Northern Ireland.
We've discussed this ad infinitum. I'd like to know more from people's thoughts, because it isn't just Wigan we've got. Am I correct in assuming we've got Cardiff the following Tuesday?
I think so, yeah.
So he's gonna be in a situation where we've got people coming back from the home from the different internationals. Some will have travelled a great distance. Some will have played two matches, etc. So we got the game, which is massive, on the Saturday, and then we go to Cardiff on the Tuesday for another game. And I think he'll use a lot of the squad for that.
Okay. Jackie says she agrees with that kiosk issue that was mentioned earlier on.
We will mention it, but of course our ability to do anything is extremely limited. Because it's nothing to do with us.
Yeah, okay. But she's talking about that, and it was obviously trouble. Alan Swindle says, most of the players will be away on international duties anyway, as the manager said yesterday. Ben Clough says, player of the season so far for him is Sam Clucas. I've always not been his best fan, but he's been a good player in 75% of the games he's played. Dan says, on another note, what are your views on the Son incident? It was fantastic that they rallied around both the player and the injured player, although the fawning over Son has been too much. Just to fuel the anti-Arsenal fire, it really highlighted how awful Arsenal were in their denigration of Shawcross that ruined a young man's future potentially stellar career.
My opinion on it, I don't think for a minute he meant to cause the injury that was caused, and again, it wasn't caused by him, it was caused by, well, we all know, we've all seen it. I just think it's very just typical of how London press will always try and look after people that they're going to write lots of column inches. Just slightly off that topic, but still on the topic of how London has sort of had a go at Shawcross, I do believe that if VAR was in the Championship, or if we were in the Premier League with VAR, we would be on all the wrong end of all the VAR decisions, because not only have you got the ref on the pitch who don't like you, you've got the ref in whatever place that's doing it that doesn't like you, that'll make certain we don't get anything. So hopefully by the time we get back into any place where VAR is going on, it will all be adjusted or finished.
Well, Roger Barnett says stake 3, Wigan 1 and the same team. George Arden says positive first result, God willing it continues. Scott Price says 3-0 against Wigan, got a chance to get some results in the next several games. Steve Roberts goes for Stoke 2, Wigan 0. Liam Clarkson goes for 3-1 against Wigan. They're a poor side, as are most in the bottom half. Do the basics, create enough chances and we should be okay. I hope Gregory can put away his chances apart from his finishing. He's been a great forward.
Well, Chris, who works for Sky, who is a Stoke fan, you might have seen him talking to me on Twitter. He was sent to Wigan yesterday and he said their best player was injured, so won't be available to players. But they've got nothing up front. And somebody actually tweeted back, neither have we really, and our defence is not great. But I think we couldn't have had two better matches in terms of Barnsley away and this match at home coming up. And if we have got everybody back and even Etebo might be fit, then I can't see us not winning that. And Nick Powell, I wonder if he'll get back into the thoughts of our new manager.
Well, he was an absolute thorn in our side in that home game where we were awful. And obviously we won't have to play against him this time.
Yeah.
You know, if he can produce anything like that for us. I mean, I'm not saying Nick Powell is someone who does all the nice things in the game. Nick Powell does, against us in particular, did some things that had me up off my chair and screaming at him. You know, calling him a cheat and all sorts of stuff, you know, where he was just winning free kicks from nothing and he was chipping at people and niggling at people from behind and things like that. It's all the nasty stuff. But it really worked against us that day. And I'm sure, did Watson get sent off that day, Ashley Williams? I think he did. Did he wind Ashley Williams up that much? In the second half, he got him off. Darren Woolley says, Clucas, what a player. Lee Davies says, I'll take 1-0 against Wigan. A win is a win. Let's get climbing that table. Sick of the Vale fans saying we'll be playing them next season. I don't think we will, mate. Don't worry about that.
Can we just say well done to the Vale for getting through to the second round of the FA Cup? Unfortunately, you've no chance of playing us in it.
Okay. Scott Price says, Sam Clucas, 5 goals this season. Simon Murray says, if fit, I'd stick with the same team. They all know now they've got to give 100% to get back in and stay in. Ben Cliff says, instead of the 12 pints of Bass Christmas song we sing in December, maybe we should change it to 12 pints of Guinness.
Yes.
Craig Podmore says, the only fear I have is the January transfer window. And Dyer, Tebow are sure to attract interest, along with Martins, Indy and Butland, in my opinion. It's a big squad, enough to cope with them and those losses, but not sure about the quality that replaces them. Great appointment, though, in Michael O'Neill. He's the type of manager we need in this situation, as I'm sure most Stokies would agree. It's going to be a long season. Jackie Steele says, Sam's interview was great. Has he ever been given the captain's armband, as he's one of the few who was given 100% in every game? Ted says, I'll give Russ the pony at Cardiff or Hull. He's not. He's reneging on this deal, isn't he?
Can I just say, KU Stokey says, against Wigan we'll win 5-1, why not? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Lovely.
I'd rather have 6, though.
Joy to watch. Gary Eagle says, can I just say the badges for the young lad from Stone will be on sale this coming week? He's recovering from brain surgery, so my daughter's been asked to make some badges to sell for this cause. Elliot's dream to go to Disneyland. I remember mentioning that the other few weeks ago.
Yeah, if you let us know again on your Facebook page, or you can put it on here, how to get those badges, because I know you say your daughter's been asked to make them. We can just publicise it for you, and obviously we'll be wearing them with pride next time we're on the airwaves.
Liam Clarkson says, do you think Michael O'Neill will be keeping all the backroom staff who did not get sacked with Jones? He seemed not to give a straight answer with that during his interview. Well, Liam, you didn't hear that earlier on. Ange, I think you said that you thought they might stay, didn't you, some of them?
I think that they will stay, but obviously he will have the final say. The one position that I will find interesting is that much lauded Phil Chappell, who came in because he knew Nathan well and had worked with Nathan before. It'll be interesting to see if he stays. I've heard great reports about Mr. Cousins, who is going to come in. I don't think Michael O'Neill will bring in too many backroom staff. And I sincerely hope that we keep Rory, because if any of you heard the way he spoke at the pre-game interview. It was clear that he is heart and soul in Stoke City Football Club, but also the people of Stoke-on-Trent too. And I thought he handled himself really, really well in those interviews and made it clear that, you know, this was a massively serious situation we were in.
I think he... it also was made clear to me on Monday night that management's not for him, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Meerman 61 says it'll be three against Wigan. You wait an eternity for three and you get two come along at the same time. Jacob says Kipri was sent off for Wigan yesterday, so he won't be available. Right, okay. That's the guy that everybody was saying was good. Thanks for that. I hope it's Kipri.
Okay. George Harding says, what was that commentator you mentioned earlier that made you laugh? Is that the video, the alternative commentary?
Yeah, Stoke, it goes under Stoke George.
It's probably him, isn't it?
Possibly. Is it him? But I don't know. If it is you, you're very funny.
Jackie Sedula says, was at the game and me and the lady... Me and the lady behind me were still nervous all the way through the game. Anybody else felt like this? It's a strange feeling with what the scoreline was. I was nervous at 4-0 in the semi-final at Wembley.
Yeah,
I didn't think, you know.
I remember turning around saying we could get to extra time. I've said this.
When Johnny Walters scored in the 81st minute to make it five, I actually relaxed then at that point. Because all I could think about was, imagine the headlines if we lose from here at Wembley. Martin Eagle says, 5-0 versus Wigan, funnily enough, after mentioning Bolton there. George Harding says, is Jared Smith well thought of?
I believe he is very well thought of at Stoke, George.
Scott Price says, when Alan scored the third, felt Stoke would go on to win the game. Alan scored three.
Even that was a bit of a scrappy one, wasn't it? You know, Bart gets the header in, but he managed to... I think it was Bruno Martins Indy was in there as well, and Joe gets it in.
But like you say, I mean, Joe's missed easier chances than that, hasn't he? And scored, so again, just shows you, hopefully... I mean, I was talking about things going our way under the Jones tenure not that long ago, so let's just hope this is the real thing. Liam Clarkson says, I hope we build a strong lead against Wigan and we can take a strong team again to Cardiff, which is a much harder game for us. We have tired legs when we double up in fixtures and I don't want to see that again. But yeah, I think most tired legs come about in central midfield, Ange, don't they?
Yeah.
But potentially, we've got five players there now for those three midfield positions if they're all on top of the game. You know, Woods, Clucas, Allen and Dye in a T-boat. For the moment, we've got five anyway. Maybe not after January, but, you know. So, he can swap them around. And we didn't have, technically, or people would argue, our strongest two midfield players playing yesterday. So, anyway, Damon Robertson says, afternoon from Toronto.
Yeah,
wow.
It works about half past
what a great feeling to have a win under our belt, says Damon. Long time coming for sure. I'm happy with the appointment and looking forward to the next few fixtures and what he can bring to the club. Great show. Keep it up. It helps us expats keep in touch with our beloved club. Thank you, Damien.
Damien, can I just ask you a question? It's just my own peace of mind. Are you from Stoke originally? And if you're not, why did you choose Stoke to support?
Liam Cope says 1-0 win against Wigan. Ben Cliff says, I'd like to see us go left back in on loan from a Premier League team and like to see another forward in on loan. And maybe another winger in on loan too. Campbell to go out on loan. Cousins out on loan. Bruno, Butland and Ndai to leave maybe. So there you are. Dan Lance watching. We'd better say congratulations to Dan, hadn't we?
Say congratulations to Dan.
Because he's recently got married.
Mm. So, congratulations, Dan.
Best wishes to you, Dan. Polls. I haven't mentioned these at all tonight, have I, Ange? We've got a result poll for the game against Wigan, and unsurprisingly after yesterday everybody's hugely positive about Stoke winning that game. 93% of you think Stoke are going to win, and just saying that, Dan says, hi guys, I'm watching for Costa Rica. I presume that's on his honeymoon, isn't it?
Well, you'd like to think so. Because things have not been that bad, Dan, as you've had to leave the country
already.
Playing that bad.
Already.
Are you enjoying Costa Rica and is the weather good?
And you shouldn't be watching us from Costa Rica on your honeymoon,
yes,
Dan.
Of course he should. That's what supporters do.
Should he? Oh, okay. That's all right then.
They don't go for a run like you.
Okay. The other poll was, would you like to see Who would you like to see playing our midfield three growing forward through the season? Right, now you couldn't put every possible combination in four choices, by the way. So anybody who's been clever and saying I've missed out the best choice, Atibo and Dying Klukas, it wasn't intentional. It was just a question of getting some suggestions out there. Right, and just to show you how even all this is, we have a tie, and third place is 1% behind the tie. So in the lead at the moment is Atibo, Klukas and Allen, and or Woods, Ndiaye and Atibo on 27%. We've got Woods, Ndiaye and Klukas on 26%, and only a little bit behind for the fourth choice. We've not had some polls like this before for quite a while anyway. Allen, Atibo and Ndiaye, 20%. Now that's, I would have thought on those four choices you'd probably go for that top one, but that one's on 20%. So there you are. So amazing. And the last poll was, which was recommended by a listener, do you feel yesterday was the start of something positive in the long term or just a new manager bounce? Well, 72% of you think it was long term and 28% of you think it was a short term bounce.
Can we just say, Dan, before you seem to have taken up Russell's advice and you're going to switch the Wi-Fi off, we just, on behalf of everybody here, not FM, Russell and myself, we just like to wish you all the best for a great, happy life in front of you. If you do come back and we lose, then I know that Ted will forego buying the sweater off me and he'll pay for your ticket out of the country back to Costa Rica. Seriously, have a lovely honeymoon and thank you for listening.
Well, it's been over 18 and a half years now for me, Ange. I don't know how long it's been for you. But it's been over 18 and a half years for me, and you don't get that for murder, do you? So he's got a long time ahead, hasn't he?
I feel that your wife has suffered considerably more than my husband, so I can understand.
I'm gonna make a report about you to Staffs University.
No problem.
You're gonna have this honour taken off you. Okay. What honour is it, by the way?
It's a doctorate
of
science.
Mm. Yeah. What do you know about science?
Oh, quite a bit, actually. It's my favourite subject in school.
Mm. Right. Okay. Dan says his Wi-Fi is not great. That's a shame, isn't it?
That's not a euphemism, Dan.
His Wi-Fi is not getting up.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, so there we go. Liam Clarkson says, realistically, with a decent manager, where do you believe this squad could finish? Are we a better squad than last year?
I think realistically, with a decent manager and a good run before Christmas, we will finish just below the playoffs. I cannot see us making the playoffs. Are we a better squad than last year? I don't think we are.
Scott Price says...
You're not answering it?
No, I'm not answering
it. Okay.
I only need one answer.
Okay.
I'm trying to save my voice as much as possible. Mm. Scott Price says, where was Scott Hogan yesterday?
Hanley? Manchester?
Brentford.
My understanding was he's got a knock, but I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Damien Robinson gives you an answer, Ange. Mm-hmm. He's originally from Stoke, Teen specifically. I don't know what that means for 35 years. Part of Teen and District Supporters Club since 1998 and left in 2017. He's on secondment to the USA and now in Canada. He's followed Stoke from afar since then.
Well, it's great to have you listening, and all the best. Thank you.
Okay. Dan says, he's watching again. We're in the rainforest. I've seen the goals. Did we play any different? I think, Ange, go on, Ange, you tell Dan, well, he's still got a bit of Wi-Fi, that we were much better.
We were much better because we had more confidence and we pressed from the start. And Martin Eagles is starting the Where's Hogan? Hogan was in Wood's box. He was actually injured, which Anthony Bradshaw says too. KU Stokey says, 6 out of our next games are against teams in the bottom half of the table, onwards and upwards, which is the very point I've been making. You need to go on to something. You've got your cards in your hand.
I'm not going to announce an award. I'm not going to announce an award.
Most people won't know who he is. Go on.
Anyway, I don't know what's happening to me on Super 6 at the moment, Ange.
That means you've not had a good week again.
Yeah, and I can't blame not putting my scores in either. So it's not really... but quite astonishingly, and this is not, there's no disrespect to Andrew Furnier, Andrew Furnier managed somehow to get 19 points this weekend. That's which is brilliant. Which is another good score, isn't it, Andrew? Really good. You know, and I think I managed 6. I think I'm struggling to get over 6 at the moment. But Tina Priestley, who's also been commenting tonight, also got 17, which is a really, really good score. Chris Brough, 17 this week. And then we have to go down to 14s for Liam Gumley, Anthony Elliott, Pete Roberts and Craig Harold. You'd be pleased to know the cheats are anywhere near on the list there, Ange.
That's,
and he's,
that's great.
And he's also dropped behind you overall.
It's behind you.
Paul Stokes is leading the way on 173 with Bill James in second place on 167. Paul Frost in third on 162, and Mark Green's still in fourth.
Well done, Mark.
All the way through this season. He's been right up there, 159 for Mark. You were in 10th, Ange, on 151. I think the cheat's in about 16th place.
What a shame.
But he's not far behind you, so don't watch out. You know, watch out, he's on your tail. I'm in a disgraceful 42nd place. I have to say, this is worst I've ever done. On 120, I'm totally depressed about this. There's got to be good news around the corner. 123
yeah,
points
you're
I'm
go
on.
To 50th.
So I'm 28 points behind you, Ange, alone, which is unbelievable. It must have been a difficult season to predict because you've been having a lot of luck, obviously.
Well, obviously, anyway, but you talk as though you've ever been above me at the end of the table. But still, let's get back onto things that are far more interesting.
Yes, you've read those two out, haven't you? Dan Lance says, that's great. Let's hope this is the push we need. But we're not far away from safety now. I'll be attending first game when I'm back from honeymoon. There you are. So it's great. And enjoy yourself seriously out there. I'm sure it's you having the time of your life, mate.
Ben Clough
says,
watch out for the rain.
Watch out for the rain. In the rainforest, isn't he? Well, you know, are you trying to be funny, Ange?
No, but I tried that earlier on today. That failed.
Have you written your speech
yet
for next Wednesday?
Just get on with it. I have, of course I have.
Is it good? Is it funny? It's got some fun in it.
Yeah, it's all of... thanks a lot.
Oh, okay. It's got anything about cat gut rackets?
No.
Okay. Ben Clough says, for me, in the next 6 games, we need to get 10 points minimum, and that's a good builder.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Ben.
Dan Lance says, how much money, if any, for January? I still think we need a few players in and out. Agree, we need more. Really, now Andy Furnio's just said to me, that was last weekend's score. So, Ange, while you're reading out on there, I'm going to check that.
Okay, well, I'm just going to ask you a few questions before before we go on to anything else. You know, people are saying they keep the same team, but realistically, don't you think, given the fact that we got 2 games and Cardiff on paper might be the more difficult one, I think we ought to make one or two changes in the home match so that we've got some extra legs.
That's
I mean,
right.
Obviously, it depends. It obviously depends on how people go on in the international break. But I just think we should look at both games.
Right. Liam Clark says, can you give a shout out to Nathan Heaney? Well, Nathan's doing really well, isn't he, boxer at the moment? Great lad, avid Stoke fan, and current Midlands middleweight champion. He's on the Frank Warren undercard show on the 30th of November at the Birmingham Arena. Well,
good luck, Nathan.
Yeah, good luck to him. He looks at you and it and all, what I've seen of him. Steve Breeze says, get George off the alternative commentary and to write your speech.
I'd like to thank
that
Steve
would be fantastic.
The Cheat. Steve the Cheat for not getting this award.
Well, I've got to thank, I'll tell you who I've got to thank. I've got to thank Andy Furnier for spotted a complete faux pas because I did read out last week's scores, Ange.
Well done.
Now, but last weekend's scores we didn't actually hear, did we?
No. Well,
so we've done this weekend. We've got Lee Dunn on 20 points, Ange.
My God.
4 correct, perfect scores.
Wow.
It's amazing. Dave Plant on 19, Andrew Winfield on 19, Neil Finney on 16, Paul Mills on 15, Richard Taylor, same. Ben Hares, 14, Anthony Bradshaw, who I saw this afternoon down at Stoke. Well done, Ant, you got 14 in the top 10. Dan Airy, who we've heard about on the programme tonight, commenting, he got 12. And Roger Barney, too, we've also heard on the programme tonight, got 12. I don't know where you were, Ange. I'm just scrolling down to find out.
Well, it's obviously above you.
No, well, there you are, Ange. Nance, you got 2 correct scores and 1 perfect score.
How many points did they
for
get?
For 9 points.
Good.
Mark Green.
Go down to 50, don't
Mark
it?
Green. Mark Green got 1 perfect score and
what
1 correct score.
What did you get,
score.
Russell? Keep going.
I'm going.
More.
I'm going. I'm
the
there.
Bottom.
I'm there in 50th
wow,
place
six
on 6.
Points.
Which means I got more right than you.
But you didn't get as many points. No, it's a bit like VAR.
Ben Cliff says, for me, let's get Christian Fuchs in on loan from... That would be a good signing. Christian Fuchs on loan from Leicester. And get Gale in. Get Gale in on loan from Newcastle.
I don't think that
And get a winger from somewhere too. Lee Davies says, I can't see Stoke going for either this season. If anything, we'll just need to ship out and survive.
Right, so just before we go, yeah. We'd like to thank everybody for listening. I mean, we have people listening in Australia...
all Canada, over the world.
The rainforest, where apparently the rain is something else. Feggays, Bucknell, Trentham. I mean, the world's our lobster here. Can I just thank you all for listening? We're having next week off for the international break. As you know, we did a show last weekend, but we don't feel that there would be too much to report on next week, apart from players playing overseas. So before we go, I'm going to ask Russell for his prediction for the next game.
Wigan. Yeah. 4-0.
2.
Stoke.
Okay. Well, I'm going 2-1 to Stoke. Thank you ever so much for
listening. If Alan Finneran's listening as well, Alan Finneran, you've got a chance next week, next game against Wigan, to actually finally get a fixed odds bet in at Stoke. Because Alan Finneran, if John, you recognise the name, has been betting on Stoke to score 3 or 4 goals or more at home every game since I've known him.
Right.
So he's been, and you can imagine how much money has been given to the bookies waiting for this to come in. So, Alan, you go for your 3s and 4s next time, because I got a feeling it might happen.
We've got a last few.
Wow, Ben Cliff, 3-1 Stoke v Wigan. Steve Breeze says, great show again, and have fun on Wednesday. And
thank you, Steve.
Don't be nice to him now, just because he's just, didn't call him a cheat then, did you? Lee Stokes says, great show again, guys. This couple of hours makes mine and my other half's weekend. Thank you, Lee. That's lovely. Jackie Steeler says, I wonder what O'Neill's take on the FA Cup games are.
Gosh, that's a good one. We'll ask that next time.
And Gary Pardy says, 5-1 to Stoke. Oh, my word. It's getting exciting.
Before we play out with the last tune, can I thank everybody who sent me personal messages saying that, you know, it was very nice for me to get the award. I'm obviously delighted.
Did I send you a personal
message? No, well, we know you weren't delighted.
No, I was gutted.
But listen, thanks ever so much for your best wishes, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you, everybody. Well, I thought, what could we go out with tonight that reflects, obviously, it's a somber day, as well as a day for celebration. So I thought, what song could get us going, but also have a military background and be relevant to the situation. So I'll bet you'll know what I've come up with as soon as you hear the first two lines. Here we go.